Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist. Please stand and join in singing hymn 128 as found in your bulletin. Blessed be the one holy and living God.
Glory to God forever and ever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you
and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. God be with you. Let us pray. O God, by the leading of a star, you manifested your only Son to the peoples of the earth. Lead us who know you now by faith to your presence, where we may see your glory face to face. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your hearts shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense. They shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Oh,
A reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, assume that you've already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to mankind as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety may be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go, search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As the pages of our calendars turn over to 2019, we come once again to that season of enthusiasm and idealism when people in our culture customarily make resolutions for the coming year. We resolve to improve our lives in some major or minor way, to quit smoking or lose weight, to seek out a new job or new place to live, to develop maybe our spiritual lives by prayer and study, or to attend church more often. Now, all of these are helpful ideas and positive ambitions for making the most of the life God has given us. There inevitably comes a moment, however, usually by the beginning of Lent on Ash Wednesday, March 6th this year, when we discover that our resolve has failed us. That gym membership, though paid for in advance, goes unused. The prayer book and the Bible continue to gather dust on the bookshelf. We discover, much to our surprise, that the treadmill makes for a wonderful sweater dryer, and that we are now on a first-name basis with the drive-thru staff at Dunkin' Donuts. We can hear Jesus saying to us what he said to his apostles in Matthew 26:41, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Additionally, we encounter circumstances beyond our control that interfere with our best laid plans. An old knee injury flares up, preventing us from running that marathon. The expected promotion or transfer is not forthcoming. A child or spouse floors us with a stunning announcement, "I have cancer, I'm pregnant, or I'm gay." In these moments, we feel more keenly the message of Proverbs 16:9. The human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps. We can take some comfort in knowing that we are not the first drivers on life's road to encounter detours, speed bumps, and U-turns. No epic novel has ever centered on characters who always make the right decision or events that always go according to plan. Conflicts and mishaps are not distractions from the plot, but the very elements that make these stories worth reading. And so it is in the story of our lives. It was the late, great John Lennon who sang, "Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans." The good news for us, when we find ourselves in circumstances that are somewhat less than ideal, is that the God we believe in is not far away, sitting up on some cloud in heaven, waiting for us to figure it all out or to get it right. The God of the Christian faith gets the divine hands dirty by taking on human flesh and dwelling among us in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ is born in a stable, meaning that God is intimately present and actively involved in your life, in this world, with all of its messes and with all of its smells and all of its unexpected plot twists and all of its failures. The gospel for today's Feast of the Epiphany gives us a tangible image of the infant Jesus scribbling outside the lines in the coloring book of our lives. There are many misconceptions about the famous wise men from the East that we heard about in today's reading. With all due respect to our processional hymn, "We Three Kings of Orient Are," the only accurate words in that sentence are "we of are." The biblical text does not say that there were three of them, but only that they brought three different kinds of gifts. Remember what they are? Frankincense, gold, myrrh. And the term Orient does refer accurately to the direction of east, but not necessarily to the regions of China or India that we tend to associate that word with. The label of kings comes not from St. Matthew's Gospel, but from the prophecy in Isaiah 60, which was our first reading. And that says, "Nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Isaiah tells us further that the wealth of nations shall come to you. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the name, the praise of the Lord. The identifying phrase from Matthew's gospel, "wise men from the east," most likely refers to Zoroastrian astrologers from the region that we now think of as Iran or Iraq. The presence of Zoroastrian sages in today's gospel signifies the reality that God's work in the world is not limited to one particular time, place, or people. Truth, according to St. Augustine of Hippo, belongs to the Lord wherever it is found. For Christians, the realization that all truth is God's truth does not invalidate or relativize our faith, but frees us to approach other religions with openness and curiosity rather than criticism and judgment. The astrologer's following of the star is not a tacit endorsement of horoscopes, but yet another example of God leading people to Christ via paths that are unconventional and surprising. The path of the astrologer draws meaning from careful observation of the universe. So, speaking in contemporary terms, one could suggest that this passage opens to Christians the study of science and philosophy as avenues through which the divine glory can be more fully known and understood by the world. The wise men from the East represent for us all the ways that God colors outside the lines. Their presence in this story shakes us out of our narrow conceit to consider the possibility that unexpected or inconvenient events might be the very ways in which God is presently at work in our lives. Such twists and turns might not be distractions from the plot, but the main arc of the story itself. There is a wise man or woman within each of us. If our hearts and minds are open, we can join their caravan and follow the star to the horizon where heaven and earth meet. There is also something of King Herod within each of us. If we so choose, we can remain behind with him, barricaded inside a palace of our own making, plotting and scheming to neutralize all challenges to our ego as if they were threats to existence itself. The way of Herod leads nowhere, as it never requires us to set foot outside of our comfort zones. The way of the wise men, on the other hand, leads us to that deepest place within us where Christ is still being born today. The way of the wise men is not easily discerned or followed, for it requires of us that we embrace those parts of ourselves or our lives that feel most strange or foreign. When our internal resolve and our external circumstances fail us, the wise men show us how to go home by another way. They lead us by all sorts of twists and turns to that inner house, where we plop down on the floor next to the Christ child, who teaches us how to scribble outside the lines in the coloring book of our life. The divine word who became flesh and lived among us is not interested in defending our possessions, our positions, or our plans, but works tirelessly for the recovery of our true essence as God's beloved children. Brothers and sisters, my prayer for all of us this morning is not that we would have the strength or the know-how to overcome life's obstacles by force of will, but that God would bless us with enough weakness and enough foolishness to walk the winding way of wisdom until it leads us to that place within us where Jesus lives. Amen.
As you are able, please stand and join in proclaiming our faith, which covers the earth and spans the ages, by reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary,
and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Good and gracious God, you gave us your Son, the Lord of the universe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, the Savior of all, lying in a manger. Draw us into the ordinary mystery of your love.
Let us pray for the Church around the world as it celebrates the Epiphany of Christ. Bless Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, Michael and Frankie in formation for holy orders, and all those who are entrusted with Christian ministry.
Let your word be proclaimed with truth and courage across our world.
Bestow your wisdom on Donald, our president, and all who govern.
Grant that all may live in the peace of this holy season.
Let us pray for all who are cold, hungry, or alone this season, especially those who have no place to lay their heads.
Grant that they may feel the hope and comfort of this holy season.
Let us pray for all who are addicted, anxious, depressed, or ill, remembering especially Ben, Peg, Linda, Quinn, Sandy, Judy, Jessica, Glenn, Kay, Bob, Lynn, Jean, Mike, Bill, Kobe, Mike, Bill, Renee, Billy, and Jean, and all those whom we hold in our hearts.
We ask for healing, hope, and happiness.
We pray for those who work for peace and for all who serve in our armed forces. Courtney, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, and Stephen. We also pray for ourselves and for the blessings of Christmas.
Open our hearts to your presence, that we may be transformed by your love.
Let us give thanks for all the departed, remembering especially Sister Wendy, Walter. They have been bearers of the Word made flesh for us.
As they join in the heavenly hosts in singing the glories of your grace, grant that we may feel the comfort of this holy season.
O God, who wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature, grant that we may share the divine life of him who humbled himself to share our humanity, your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
I will give you as a light to the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you gave Jesus Christ, your only Son, to be born for us, who by the power of the Holy Spirit was made perfect man of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother, so that we might be delivered from the bondage of sin and receive power to become your children. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all in the Word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with the Magi, the Holy Family, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the peace. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Infinite, intimate God, in this Eucharist we have celebrated your presence with us. May we grow in the divine life of Christ, who humbly shared our human life. Fill us with joy and send us out to share this good news with others. We ask this through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for being here today. We have several fun things happening. For those of you, always, you were wonderful. Thank you, Carrie. Please stand. This is the festival blessing of Epiphany, and you all know the rules. Festival blessings require the loudest possible amens. May Almighty God, who led the wise men by the shining of a star to find the Christ, the light of light, lead you also in your pilgrimage to find the Lord.
Amen.
May God, who sent the Holy Spirit to rest upon the only begotten at his baptism in the Jordan River, pour out that Spirit upon you who have come to the waters of new birth.
Amen.
May God, who by the power that turned water into wine at the wedding feast at Cana, transform your lives and make glad your hearts.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Amen.